Obama will name a Republican to be Transportation Secretary. Orphaned Eclipse aviation customers unite. And airline cutbacks cause jet fuel prices to plunge. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, December 18th, 2008. The National Air Transportation Association tells ANN it has learned Congressman Ray LaHood of Illinois will be nominated by President-elect Obama Friday to be Secretary of Transportation. LaHood is a seven-term Republican congressman who announced his retirement last year. He makes the second Republican to join the President-elect's cabinet. NATA notes LaHood has been a leading advocate for improving the state of Illinois' transportation infrastructure, including being a proponent for improving local airports through securing funds for new construction and expansion, while also working with officials to increase air service. You'll find more details, updates as we get them, and links to LaHood's bio and the NATA announcement in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. Customers of Eclipse Aviation have announced the formation of an ad hoc customers committee to represent owners and position holders in the company's Chapter 11 bankruptcy proceedings. The group notes that Eclipse collected $300 million in deposits for future deliveries of aircraft. The group says the bankruptcy is already limiting maintenance and repair options for owners who already took delivery of their planes. All told, the committee estimates customers who hold contracts promising warranty coverage, upgrades, subscription services, and undelivered aircraft may represent the largest constituency in the bankruptcy in dollar terms. Current Eclipse 500 Owners Club President David Green was selected to be chairperson and says, quote, "Finding a mutually beneficial outcome with the purchaser is our purpose, but all options are under consideration as we fulfill our mandate of protecting the interests of the customer group," unquote. The customer committee has retained legal representation. The National Business Aviation Association says the Transportation Security Administration has scheduled five official public hearings for the business aviation community to gather feedback on its proposed large aircraft security program. NBAA President Ed Boland says members, quote, "have been understandably frustrated by the proposal because it seems to lack a true understanding of how a general aviation airplane fits into a company's operations and security culture. I strongly encourage anyone able to participate in these meetings to mark their calendars and plan to attend," unquote. The meetings will happen in January in White Plains, New York, Atlanta, Chicago, Burbank, and Houston. Find the dates listed in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. The public comment period for LASP has been extended to February 27th. Recent capacity cuts by airlines have done more than increase ticket prices. Another result of fewer planes in the air is a growing glut of jet fuel on the market and falling fuel prices as a result. And the capacity cutting hasn't ended. The Houston Chronicle reports that even Southwest Airlines, which had outlined a strategy to expand in markets where competitors planned cuts, has cut 32 round trips and added 19 new ones for a net decrease of 13 starting in May. U.S. air travel in November was the lowest since 9/11. American Airlines, United, and Continental estimate traffic is down 10%. That exceeds the cuts they made in capacity. The U.S. Energy Department says jet fuel demand for the 4 weeks ending December 5th was down 17% from the same period last year. Emirates Air President Tim Clark doesn't have any Boeing Dreamliners on order, but he can certainly empathize with airlines which do. Boeing recently announced its fourth development delay for its new composite airliner. Combined with lower production rate estimates, the new schedule could see customers getting their planes 2 years later than originally contracted. Boeing says the 787's first flight, which was originally scheduled for late August of 2007, won't occur now before the second quarter of 2009. In an interview this week with James Wallace of the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, Clark commented, quote, "2 years is terrible. You tend to accept 3 to 6 months, but 2 years. Airlines have fleets predicated on these new airplanes coming in, and then they have to scramble to find different planes to replace those that are late," unquote. Clark knows what he's talking about. Emirates got the first of its 58 Airbus A380 Super Jumbos this summer, 2 years late. Emirates also has orders for the Airbus A350 XWB, the larger competitor to the 787, which is also years late. Clark appears resigned to the reality that new technology will come with delays. Quote, "We can jump up and down and make threats, but what's that going to do? Will it get the planes to us any sooner? I don't think so," unquote. Up next on ANN, Japan Airlines shows passengers a controversial pre-flight video. Airbus finally reaches flight testing of the A400M's new engines. And X-Corps successfully test fires the engine that will power its Lynx spacecraft. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 18th. I'm Paul Plack. Japan Airlines is betting that passengers will feel more comfortable on its planes if they see how carefully the airline analyzes black box data. The mere mention of forensic research to passengers in the pre-takeoff environment is considered taboo for most in the industry, so JAL's tactic will be watched very closely. The so-called black box, which is of course actually fluorescent orange, provides detailed information about the last 30 minutes of an airline flight and has been the staple of post-crash investigations for decades. In recent years, data analysis of even routine flights that land safely is also being used to find ways to improve efficiency in procedures and maintenance. The technology has even filtered down to small general aviation aircraft as part of the glass panel revolution. But what Japan Airlines is doing is very unique. The New York Times reports that a 3-minute video shown to passengers before takeoff touts the safety benefits of both electronic data analysis and voluntary reporting of mistakes by pilots, similar to the ASAP amnesty program in the U.S. In the video, passengers are educated on anomalies and potential hazards, referred to in so many words, and see what it's like to be a pilot working in the cockpit. Michael Poole of CAE Flightscape, the Quebec company which supplies the technology used by JAL, thinks the airline's approach is a great idea. Quote, "Here's an excellent way to communicate they're serious about safety," unquote. Not everyone agrees. Southwest Airlines Captain John Gadzinski is the safety chairman of the Southwest Airlines Pilots Association. Quote, "This may be another way to soothe passengers' nerves, but I sure wouldn't do it this way," unquote. Japan Airlines says that so far, passengers have had little reaction to the videos. Airbus Military has announced a successful first test flight of the turboprop power plant that will power its long-delayed A400M military transport. The company told Reuters the test was satisfactory. The hour-long test was carried out near Cambridge, England. Somewhat ironically, the TP400D5 was mounted on the wing of a converted Lockheed C-130, which will be the A400M's chief competitor. The engines are built by EPI Europrop International, a joint effort between Rolls-Royce and Safran. It's the largest turboprop power plant ever developed by Western nations. Four of the massive engines will power the A400M. Earlier this year, Airbus blamed EPI for delays in getting its planes to customers. The engine maker shot back that the engine was ready and waiting, but that Airbus was late getting integration work done. On Tuesday, EADS announced a massive reorganization of its military activities, giving Airbus greater control over the A400M's development. The company says 9 countries have ordered a total of 192 of the aircraft since it officially went on sale in 2003. X-Corps Aerospace announced on Wednesday it has successfully completed its first test fire of the rocket engine that will be used to power its Lynx suborbital launch vehicle to the edge of space. The new engine is called the 5K18 and produces between 2,500 and 2,900 pounds of thrust, burning a mixture of liquid oxygen and kerosene. The engine was fired Monday at the Mojave Air and Spaceport. X-Corps CEO Jeff Grayson commented, quote, "Today's successful hot fire marks an important step forward in building the Lynx. The FK-18 builds on our previous experience that will make it possible to provide affordable access to space," unquote. During its 9 years of existence, X-Corps has conducted over 3,600 hot fire tests of rocket engines. The company notes all have had perfect safety records. The Lynx will use 4 5K-18 engines to carry people or payloads to the edge of space. Nearly every industry segment in the world is seeing falling demand right now, but military aircraft are apparently an exception. U.S. Air Force Major General Charles Davis told the Reuters Aerospace and Defense Summit in Washington, D.C., that orders for Lockheed Martin's F-35 Joint Strike Fighter are on track, despite the global recession. Davis says Great Britain, one of the partner nations which funded development, is slated to commit to 3 F-35s in the next production batch. The Netherlands also has an option for 1 F-35 from that lot, known as Low-Rate Initial Production Lot 3, though getting clearance for the sale from lawmakers may take some time. Davis adds he expects Israel to order as many as 25 planes in 2009, and Singapore may place an order in 2010. Japan is also expected to submit a letter of request for pricing and delivery slots. That's the first step towards a purchase. While those orders may seem insignificant compared to the 2,443 F-35s the U.S. military is expected to buy, any foreign interest provides a boost for a program plagued by cost overruns and criticism. 2 F-35s are now in flight test, a conventional A model and a short takeoff and landing B variant, with a third plane, an F-35C carrier aircraft, expected to join the test program shortly. The F-35 is intended to ultimately replace a wide variety of current aircraft, including F-16s and FA-18s. Still ahead, the FBI says a former federal air marshal took bribes. Spaceport America gets its launch site license from the FAA. And a Japanese man who beat his wife is suing United Airlines for causing it. You're listening to Aero News.
Okay. Right up front, let me say that Garmin does not give tax advice. We have lawyers who cringe at the very thought of suggesting there might be tax advantages to buying a new Garmin avionics system this year.
Did he say tax advantages?
Could that be construed as tax advice, either express or implied?
Yeah, like I said, lawyers. So I guess I won't be telling you that this year Congress is offering special bonus depreciation up to 50% in year one for qualified business equipment placed in service during 2008. Business equipment like, say, a new Garmin avionics stack. But you didn't hear that from me, right?
What did he just say?
Okay, better check with your tax consultant for guidance and your Garmin dealer for the installation. Garmin. Follow the leader.
See your tax advisor for guidance.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, December 18th. I'm Paul Plack. A former U.S. federal air marshal faces criminal prosecution for allegedly abusing his access to a law enforcement computer database. 43-year-old Fremon Miles faces two counts of bribery of a public official. An FBI investigation resulted in accusations that Miles took money to run a check for outstanding arrest warrants on an individual, then took another payment to retrieve registration information for a vehicle license plate. If convicted, he faces a maximum possible sentence of 30 years in prison, 3 years supervised release, and a fine of $250,000. The New Mexico Spaceport Authority received a license for vertical and horizontal launches this week from the FAA. This is a critical step to moving forward with the nation's first purpose-built commercial spaceport. The New Mexico State Legislature set certain requirements for spaceport funding. Those included the formation of a local tax district, the launch site license, and a signed lease agreement with an anchor tenant. Executive Director Stephen Landine says, quote, "We are on track to begin construction in the first quarter of 2009, and have our facility completed as quickly as possible, unquote. The requirement for an anchor tenant will be satisfied when the authority signs a lease agreement with Virgin Galactic, which is expected to happen later this month. Roadwork to the spaceport is reportedly underway, and the architectural firm of URS Foster & Partners is completing its final design for the terminal and hangar. The Spaceport Authority projects vertical launch activity will increase in 2009, with completion of the terminal and hangar facility for horizontal launches by late 2010. Aeronews has learned CMC Electronics' Integra Flight CMA-5024 aviation GPS receiver has received certification for both the FAA and Transport Canada. The device has passed the most stringent tests for Wide Area Augmentation System navigation receivers and is approved for use in providing precision approach guidance signals to the aircraft's autopilot and instrument displays to execute an LPV approach. CMC describes the CMA-5024 as a ruggedized air transport quality WAAS GPS receiver, specifically designed for easy retrofit and adaptability to either existing or new build aircraft. The company predicts a 40,000-hour mean time between failure and says the receiver is an ideal solution across a wide range of aircraft, from helicopters and business jets to air transport. Bruce Bailey, VP of Commercial Aviation for CMC, commented, quote, "This certification reconfirms our position as technology leader for high-integrity aviation GPS technology and products," unquote. And finally, a bizarre lawsuit has been filed by a Japanese man against United Airlines, charging that it's the airline's fault he beat and injured his wife after getting off a flight from Osaka, Japan to San Francisco. Yuichi Shimamoto tells the Chicago Tribune he was arrested and charged with disorderly conduct and battery after he struck his wife, Aisha, 6 times, injuring her face and upper lip as they were heading through customs in San Francisco. The couple is claiming the attack is the fault of the airline, which they say served the husband burgundy wine every 20 minutes on the long flight, leaving him drunk and unable to manage himself. The suit was filed December 5th in U.S. District Court in Tampa. It seeks $100,000 related to bail expenses, payment of other legal costs, damages for pain and suffering, and, quote, "any other relief that is just and proper," unquote. Legal experts say the airline could certainly be held responsible if the alcohol had been served in California. But at 40,000 feet over the international waters of the Pacific, things aren't so clear. James Spita, a professor at Northwestern University Law School, suggests common sense may also make its way into this case. Quote, "The idea that the server should have stopped serving is often accepted when the injury is to a third person, such as in a drunk driving situation. Generally, the courts have not been receptive to people saying, 'I asked for the drink and you gave it to me,'" unquote. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell talks with EAA President Tom Poberesny about the political turmoil within the National Association of Flight Instructors. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.